Now may I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It says, as yet there was no Spirit. It seems to imply the Holy Spirit did not yet exist. But of course the Holy Spirit had existed from forever. The same Holy Spirit who moved over the waters of the earth in the Genesis creation story, that beautiful poem of our origins. The Spirit had not yet been given in great fullness and freedom to all God's people. The Spirit had visited many times. The Holy Spirit is a mystery in Christianity, always should be, always will be. And yet, because the Holy Spirit is a mystery, that doesn't mean that we should shy away from reconciling ourselves and opening ourselves to God's Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, as the day began, the disciples were frightened still. They were uncertain and gathering in secret. And then the sound of a rushing wind, and what are described as flames. Those same flames have been seen before many times in different ways. And I don't wish to alarm you, but I'm going now to enact a dramatic reconstruction of that moment of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And for the listener, the rector is about to put on a metallic-looking headband with flamey-looking bits of gauze. Here we go. So, I'm not saying it necessarily looks particularly splendid, but I think it gets the point across, and I think it may stick in the mind. They were indoors, so when the Spirit came in and came upon them, the Spirit looked like fire. Now, I suspect that all the apostles escaped that experience with a full head of hair and didn't wind up like me. So it wasn't actually fire, but it looked like fire. The flickering, the light. And where have we seen that before? We've seen it in the various Gospels' descriptions of the Holy Spirit coming down on Jesus at his baptism. One clearly saw it as a kind of fluttering, rather like a dove. Another says, oh no, it was in bodily form like a dove. Which is a bit of an odd thing to say. It's tantamount saying, no, it wasn't something a bit indistinct, it was a pigeon. But I don't think really that the Holy Spirit incarnates as a pigeon, even a white one. A mysterious fluttering, a light outdoors that looked like a dove. Indoors looked like flame, perhaps much larger flames than these. And a more ancient time, when Moses' attention was caught by a burning bush, common in those days, crackling away, spontaneously combusting in the heat of the desert, full of combustible oils. But it wasn't burning, because things that burn turn to ash and fall in a heap. So he went closer, and there was the Spirit of God in the bush, the same mysterious flames. And God, through his Spirit, spoke to Moses. There was very much a Spirit, but just not known to us in this fullness. I think my head must be entirely the wrong shape to wear this, so I shall take it off now. I'm sure you'll never look at me the same way again. A strange experience, taking them from fear and hiding into boldness and proclamation. They burst out into the streets, telling people about God, about Jesus, about the great salvation that was going on. They spoke to people from one of a scripture reader's worst nightmares, didn't they? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia. Some of it sounds like a very boring geography lesson, doesn't it? People from the refrigerator and pamphlet and somewhere else, I don't know. All these places strange to us. People who spoke a variety of languages and dialects. Last night, Urs Schwarzenbach was regaling me with some Swiss German. He has a little phrase up his sleeve that he can trot out, and it really sounds entirely unintelligible. I only have a smattering of German, but all I could make out that was that one of the words probably meant there. It reminded me a little bit of the phrase you may know, especially if you've been in the services, did-da-da-da-did-did-it. But it wasn't quite that. That, by the way, is SOS. Which is how I felt trying to understand it. So all these people with their separate languages was no obstacle to these spirit-filled people. Now, at this point, I'm starting to get a bit nervous because I want to be full of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want to be compelled out into the street blurting out the gospel to complete strangers. I feel rather shy of that. I think that our best approach is to build the spread of the gospel through relationships and intelligent conversation and times of fellowship and worship, and I do believe that. And yet, this was the match to the combustible material that lit the church at its inception. For the day of Pentecost is often called the birthday of the church. Perhaps not entirely accurately, but it is the day on which the message of Jesus began to be proclaimed by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is the light and life of the church. Do you find that these stories of the Holy Spirit make you feel a bit unsettled? Not really how we see ourselves as the church nearly 2,000 years later. And yet, the Spirit who so enthused those apostles with the good news that they already knew, but made it a living, exciting reality to them and gave them the means to communicate it, that same Spirit is in us. And we can always give the Holy Spirit more freedom. I don't believe the Holy Spirit does generally railroad us or make us go way outside our normal behavior. But the Holy Spirit certainly can prompt us to do and say things that we've never previously felt able to do. So as we consider that exciting day, the day when suddenly the gospel of Jesus Christ was released from people in hiding, the day when the nations began to hear the good news of Jesus' triumph over death in the power of God. So as we consider that day, let us pledge ourselves again to be the people of the Holy Spirit, the messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in whatever way is appropriate. But let us not be surprised if the Holy Spirit leads us, prompts us, nudges us into doing things that we might never before have considered. For we do not live in fear. We have a gospel of life and health and peace, a gospel of eternal salvation, and the Spirit will make it real in us and through us. Amen.